And also, I want to get your thoughts on this. As there's another issue with police, and it has to do with whether or not they should be in Chicago public schools. So there are some. Well, there's a lot of background here. Just to give you a little bit of it, the mayor has said that she thinks that they should remain, and that that the contract should remain intact. I think it's got a couple more months to go. The $33 million contract with Chicago Police to keep them in the schools is security and that kind of thing. School CEO Janice Jackson, also in favor of it. They say that, you know, kind of leave it up to some of the local schools, too, to make their decisions. Let's not defund the program. Let's leave it up to the local, you know, principals and local school councils to try to make up their minds about how they want to do it. So I would love to hear from you on this, too. 312-981-7200. Good idea to keep them in the schools? Would you like to see school, if you have a child in a school, does it make you feel better that there's a police officer there, or would you like to see them eliminated? Would you like to see it up to the local schools? There's a group here of, let's see, they are Chicago Public Schools alums, and they're writing a letter. They wrote a letter to the mayor and Janice Jackson, alumni for the abolition of police in schools. And basically, let's just read some of it to you here. As graduates of Chicago Public Schools, we urge you to terminate the CPS district's contract with Chicago Police Department in advance of the August 31st, 2020 deadline. So City Council was supposed to, is going to take it up again end of the summer to see if they renew it or not, but they want it done now. They want it over. And let's talk to one of the people who's part of this, who wrote this letter and is part of this group, Resty Fufunan. I hope I said that right. Did I do okay with that, Resty?
You did a great job, Anna. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy you're on too. I mean, look, I'm one of those who believes it should be up to local principals and local schools. You are not one of those people. You want this terminated right now. You don't think police belong in the schools. And I guess explain to us your position. Why that is.
So I really think that, you know, the money going towards funding the CPS CBD contract could be used to fund better resources to create better learning environments. You know, the contract is worth $33 million. And that can be that could be funding, you know, over 300 social workers, psychologists, nurses, positions that really affirm our students rather than criminalize them.
Well, I think a principal can make that decision, and $33 million, it's not, I mean, it can't purely be a financial argument, I don't think, Resty, because $33 million is a lot of money to you and me, but the CPS budget is $7.7 billion. And if you think about how $33 million is distributed, I mean, look, I don't know how far that goes. I just don't understand why, if a principal and the local school council, which ultimately, ideally, represents the parents, the teachers, the administrators, and everybody, you know, the community leaders, and community groups, that if they all believe that, you know what, our school needs a police officer, why wouldn't that be okay?
Well, you know, you have the LSE that believes one way, and then you have the students, the ones that are actually going to school, dealing with these school resource officers on a day-to-day basis. And the fact is that most students in CPS do not feel safe with these school resource officers. You know, the district is, you know, almost 89% students of color, and around 36% of students are Black. And on a national scale, Black students are 2.2 more times likely to be referred to law enforcement. So what kind of, you know, message does that send our students when we have these school resource officers in our school?
How do you know most students don't feel safe? Has there been a poll of students? I mean, how do you know that's true? Because, look, I mean, I'm sure if I went out there, you could probably find people who say that they've had a good relationship with the police officer who's been stationed in their school for 15 years. Doesn't that exist too?
Well, you know, on a local level at Northside, we had a survey sent out to the student body, and of the responses that we collected, you know, over 90% of students felt that we should remove school officers. The 10% that felt like we should keep them, they, you know, they were in favor of having those presence of police officers for an active shooter situation. And, you know, data shows that school resource officers don't really make a difference in that situation.
All right. So you mentioned North, you kind of cut out there for a second, but you mentioned Northside Prep, College Prep, which is where you went and which is one of the schools that is making moves to remove police officers, right? I think I saw a story about that yesterday, maybe.
Yeah. You know, we believe we're one of the first to actually vote to not retain our school resource officers.
But I guess my pushback on that, Resty, would be, I mean, you got to be a bright person because no one gets into Northside College Prep, first of all. So let me just put that out there because, of course, you have to score like 99% on all the tests in order to even get be looked at. It's not a school that's known for violence. I've covered crime in this city for years, and I've responded to violent crimes many times, many days. I went to schools many times as well. I never went to Northside College Prep, and I never went to Lane Tech either, which is one of the other schools you attended. Those kinds of schools may have different needs. Isn't that fair to say?
That is fair to say, but I think, you know, whether you're a student at Northside or whether you're a student in the throes of Inglewood, we all believe that we should have, you know, a better learning community, a more, you know, affirming learning community, one where resources are going towards, you know, dealing with trauma that we experience growing up in the city, rather than, you know, having these school resource officers and criminalizing them and sort of perpetuating that school to prison pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Is there some way of just kind of polling schools, students, because that's what you're pointing out. You're saying it's the students who really want this. Is there some way of truly figuring this out? What their concerns are, or what their polls are? Is that something you guys are trying to do?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we polled Northside in particular, and over 90% of students were in support. On our website, cpsalumni4abolition.org, you'll see that we have over 34 pages of testimonies from students and sort of listing the reasons why they don't want school resource officers.
Mm-hmm. And then, but when you hear Janice Jackson, who is a woman of color, she's a black woman, and she has a lot of experience in education. She certainly has worked in a lot of schools. She's saying that they want them. Are you hearing her arguments as well? Do you think that she makes good points?
You know, I think as a parent, the idea of having, you know, someone else, another set of eyes on your students might be comforting. But the reality for many of those students is that, you know, those set of eyes are not comforting. They're pouring over your every move. And so when every single move throughout your school day feels like it could be a crime, you know, that sets a different tone for students. That sets a different attitude for students. And so Janice Jackson, you know, she might feel a different way and parents might feel a different way. But ultimately, you know, it's these students that are interacting with these school resource officers on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, from 34 pages of testimonials, from the poll we've conducted at Northside College Prep, you know, the consensus is clear. We do not want these school resource officers.
So, Resi, this is a very lengthy letter, and where can people read it if they'd like to, the one that you wrote to Mayor Lightfoot in its entirety?
Yeah, they can go to cpsalumni4abolition.org.
Okay, so you're calling for the immediate termination of police in Chicago public schools. You don't want to wait till it's up. You don't want to wait for city council to consider it again. This is it. This is time. Who would respond when there is a student in that class, in a classroom or on a campus, who is a threat to themselves or other people and cannot be contained by the staff?
I'm sorry, I don't think I understand your question.
If you have a violent student acting out, and you're unable to stop that so that they could potentially harm other kids, what would you do? I mean, who responds to that?
Well, you know, the contract doesn't end private security at our schools. We have some positions for private security, and that was not affected by the vote by the LSC. That's not affected under this contract. And so, you know, you have the staff that, you know, is the first to de-escalate the situation. And then when necessary, we do have private security that's backed up. But these are not uniformed officers, right? They don't carry arms. They're not in bulletproof vests. And they're not, you know, they're in plain clothes looking like regular staff members. They're not as threatening to students as a CPD officer might be.
And if someone has a gun in a school?
Well, you know, I've mentioned earlier that it has been proven that school resource officers armed, that is not a deterrent to active shooter situations.
But ultimately, a police officer has to respond. I mean, that's what we're trying to get at here, right? I mean, doesn't a police officer have to respond when there's a situation that's out of control? I mean, I'm familiar with the officers or the security people on campus. I think they go for training twice a year. I don't know that they're skilled to handle every situation. Can we agree on that? That there are some situations that will become more out of control, and if there's a danger to harm other students, there's something that should be done, that if it's escalating and they can't de-escalate?
And, you know, if it ever escalates to that point, we still have 911. We can still call for a dispatch. You know, Northside is right close to a college campus, and they mentioned at the LSC that they're always there for backup. It's really about the presence of school resource officers in the school, right? You know, they can be outside, they can be patrolling, but within the halls of the classroom, you know, that's a sacred institution. This is a learning environment. And school resource officers don't really fit into that picture.
Okay. I understand your point. I don't agree with everything you say, but you've laid your case out understandably. If people want to join your efforts, how did they do that? And also, I just want to quickly ask you, have you gotten any response yet from the mayor?
So, you know, if people want to reach out to talk to us, they can, again, go to our website, CPSAlumni4abolition.org. On the bottom, you'll see a telephone and an email address where people can reach out. And, you know, if they want to get involved, we'll certainly love to have them on board. Now, you know, as for the mayor, Mayor Lightfoot has not given a direct response onto the situation at Northside. However, in the past few days, there have been numerous other votes at school. Just recently, Clemente High School voted to remove their school resource officers as well. So we think Northside really set a precedent that other schools in the district, you know, they saw that we're due it. They saw that, you know, this is something that's being done. And now I think that really set the ball rolling for real change.
Oh, I think there's no doubt everyone's having this conversation. And that's why I'm happy we did, too. So thank you for your time, Rusty. I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling in WGN this afternoon.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Been talking about police in Chicago Public Schools. I just heard from a CPS alumni group representative, and they've written a letter to the mayor urging them to drop the $33 million contract with police in the schools, defund it, and do something else. Hearing from you, wow, on the text line, and we'll take your calls in a second here, too. 312-981-7200. Love to hear your thoughts on this issue, as it is absolutely popping up in every local school, and it will absolutely pop up at the end of the summer here, where a decision will be made with city council whether or not that's the right idea. I don't think Rusty was wrong when he said that it is, you know, there's every school is sort of, they may have started a trend at Northside, because Clemente then the next day announced they were taking a look at this, and you see what other schools do this. Okay, here we go. One, I got news for this guy. Until the kid is 18, it's the parent's choice. Two, no parent wants cops out. That's 224. And then we've got 708. Edward says, criminalize them. Maybe they committed a criminal act. 847, our kids love their SRO. That's the school resource officer, I think that stands for, which is an officer in school. They get special training for school. 773, let each school make the call for now regarding cops. For now, then we work on something better. You know, Sergeant Pete will be on the show a little bit later, and he suggested, too, that maybe cops don't wear the police uniform when they're on campus. Would that make a difference, do you think? I mean, if they just kind of wore khakis and a blue shirt or whatever they decide, but they don't have that look of being an officer, they just sort of are there and are more trained to deal with the most violent outbursts and the ones where the de-escalation techniques are just not working. And that's the scenario you'll find yourself in if you don't have the officer, which is the concern I've had, and don't understand what happens in that case. I don't understand the clear answers other than you call the police and they get there a little bit later. I don't know. I mean, this is a big conversation. Rob, go ahead, weigh in. You're on WGN.
Oh, hey. Wow. This is a great show.
Thank you. I'm glad you discovered us.
Listen, when I was a kid at Crown Elementary, I loved it when the police came in as officer friendly. It gave me a chance to develop a relationship. That's what is needed in the community, is the police and then the community need to develop better relationship. So I don't understand why people don't want a school resource officer. Even when I went to Simeon at one point, I had a nice officer who kept me away from gangs, you know, with something else to do. Hey, you know, something's going on with this church organization. You should check it out. You know, these things are important. You can't just say you're just going to not have the police involved, because like you're saying, it's a moment when the officer is necessary, but they'll be down the street somewhere, so you got to wait that 18 minutes or whatever like that. Who knows what could happen? Keep the officers in the schools.
Rob, you make such a powerful argument. I got to tell you that because I know there's another side to this. I mean, I have been out of CPS for a long time now. So, and I went to Lane Tech. We didn't have a huge crime problem. But you're saying that the presence of them actually was a community trust building thing for you, that to had to get to know an officer as a human.
Exactly, exactly. It gave me the idea that one day I might want to be a police officer.
Well, get on that, Rob. You just don't want to do that?
Well, I'm a little past
that age. Well, thank you for. I really appreciate you weighing in. Thank you, Rob, for your thoughts. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WGN. Let's hear from you on this issue. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they should be in the school. What harm can they possibly do? If a kid isn't intimidated by the police department, then they've been taught wrong. You know, I mean, the police are supposed to be on your side. They're supposed to help you. You shouldn't be intimidated by them. I don't think, me personally, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I think what I was listening to Resty and other guests we've had on the show. They say that, you know, some people who are some people of color, in particular, black people, don't have the relationship that you or I might have. Are you a white person, or are you?
I'm white, but I mean, they were taught wrong. I grew up in the tough schools in Chicago. I mean, you know, the police, you're supposed to respect them. When they tell you to do something, you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't obey them, then you're liable to get in trouble.
Well, yeah, well, we've seen that. All right, thank you, Joe.
I mean,
go ahead. Right. You want to finish your thought? Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's fine. That's good.
Thank you for calling. We've got Sue. Sue, go ahead. What are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Hannah.
Hey.
You know, we hear all the time that what it basically boils down to is one-on-one with the kids that are in trouble and, you know, screen and have police that know how to deal with kids, can relate with them, you know, mm-hmm. and they can build, like they said, they can help build a good feeling for police. And like you said, maybe change not to the uniforms, but then, you know, they're already in there making a cut. September's not going to be crazy enough without this upheaval, but train the police to do that, to interact better with kids, take, you know, people that are already there and also would have the skills to protect them. But they can be a really good influence. And I'm sort of, my daughter's a social worker. She's not going to go handle some, you know, kid with a gun and, you know, take the police and make them a positive in the school and, you know, train police to be better at that. And
it's been my argument, you know, all along that I think that the local school council and the local educators and principals can find out if the police officer they're using is the right one for their school. If they're treating students right. with disrespect, that police officer doesn't deserve to be there. But if they have, if they're doing the right things, they're de-escalating the things that the security officers can't handle, that's their role. And somehow that role needs to be replaced in some way or form. And that's where we are. Thank you, Sue, I want to get one more call.
I just wanted to say one more quick thing.
Okay, cool.
No, I'm going to forget it. About all these, I don't know who the young man who was talking, but I'd like to see some facts, like what schools, you know, how have there been responses to school?
Yeah, excellent point.
That have had problems. Everybody's throwing out tons of, you know, numbers.
Assumptions.
I'd like to see facts.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you, Sue.
Okay.
I
love your show, Anna.
Thank you. All right, let's continue this conversation about police in schools. It is something that has come up. It is not going away. It will be front and center for a matter of months here as the contract will be reconsidered by the city council at the end of the summer. But schools are not wasting time. They're all each individually looking at this issue one by one and making decisions. I don't know if they're hasty decisions, but Northside has already decided, I think, that they're pretty close to removing them. Not a school with a big crime problem. So I don't know how you feel about that. But then Clemente now is a second one just within the matter of a couple of days. And so it's really being looked at. And I want to hear your thoughts. So let's go back to the phone. Then we're going to talk to Sergeant Pete because I'm sure he has thoughts on this. And he's also going to break a little news on the program here today. Pete, go ahead. You got thoughts on this conversation. Thanks for waiting on hold.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, you know what? I went to Farragut High School, and that's a very high crime area. And let me tell you something. One of the reasons that I graduated from Farragut was because of the police, or else I would have really considered not even going to school. My second point is this. We cannot, as adults, have children tell us what they want and what they don't want, because we're setting them up for failure in life. There are certain things in life that you're not going to get your way, and that's just the way it is. And what happens when you don't have a police and some kid gets killed? Who's going to pay for the where's the liability in that? Is it the cities? Is it the is it the city council? Somebody's going to have to pay a liability when, not if, but when one of these kids gets severely hurt and there's no police around.
Well, I mean, and that is the question. Okay, so you decide, okay, let's take the police off. Let's run through this. Take the police officer out, and then what? And then what? I mean, we know that right. We have violent situations.
We're following nothing but trendy things right now. All this hate the police, you know, stop making police cars. That's all trendy. That's emotional, childish decisions that society is making. The reality is we need the police. Yeah. The reality is we need to fund the police even more, because ask those people who live in the ghetto, in the urban areas, they will tell you, are you crazy? We need more police, because we are the ones that are calling the police the most. So this is the craziest thing. That's why I say it. These are all emotional decisions, trendy decisions that are being made by supposedly adult politicians.
Thank you, Pete. I hear your point, and these shouldn't be made quickly. You're right. These are not quick decisions. You shouldn't just remove now. I mean, you can't even wait till the end of August? Really? I mean, we're not even sure we're going to be in school. We're not even sure they're going to have class, and then we have to get rid of them right now. So, I totally get your
point.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, and let's get to Bill. I want to get one more in before we talk to Sergeant Pete. Bill, go ahead. You've been on hold, too, so thank you for that. What do you have to say?
I want to say that Rusty's crazy. And how many lives have been saved by SRO being in school? We don't know. How many situations didn't ever occur because there's SRO in the school? We don't know. So just the factor of one being in the school is priceless to me.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you weighing in. Sergeant Pete's been also waiting here for a little bit, and we got to break a little news with you, because we've been talking about the home monitoring situation, and we'll get to that, because there's something new we've learned that we want to share with everyone. But first, I don't know how much of this you've been listening to, Sergeant Pete. You're a police officer. You've helped with after-school programs and sports and stuff like that. Weigh in here. What do you think about this whole conversation?
My example is simple. I worked in a school, and I was at De La Salle High School, and there was a shooting down the street. So I got that information over the internet, the computer, and I was able to tell the school to lock down the school. Also, there was an active shooter at IIT, which is right behind De La Salle. We locked down De La Salle. When there was a fight in the school, the teachers handled it. When it was disciplinary thing, the dean of men handled it. I had nothing to do with anything to do with those kids other than answer questions or talk to them or just, you know, shoot the breeze with them. But that was it. But that instance where there's an active shooter, not in the school, but, you know, right down the street from the school, you got to have somebody that can lock that school down and stop whoever it is from getting into that school. So I'm a firm believer that you just can't have these parents, subjected to the pressure from certain people in this community that don't want the police and risk your kid. Because I don't care, you know, a good response time is 3 to 5 minutes for a shooting. 3 to 5 minutes. In 3 to 5 minutes, a lot of damage can be done.
Yeah. And it's my understanding that right now you do have security officers in schools and you have a police officer in many cases. And so the security officer, would they be the first one to tend to a situation and try to de-escalate it? Or would a police officer be the first?
Exactly. No, it's the school officer, the school security, the teachers, the dean of men, or women or the dean, whatever you want to call them, they're the ones that are going to intercede and break up the kids that are fighting, or the girls that are fighting, the guys that are fighting, things like that. Policemen shouldn't be getting involved in that unless it becomes a crime, you know, a battery, a felony battery. And then the police officer has to take action.
Pete, hang on a second. We're just going to hear from Mary. She wants to join in this conversation. Mary, you're a nurse in the Chicago Public Schools, is my understanding.
I was. And I worked in many, many, many public schools. It was an agency job, you know, in 2008 when I was, like, laid off. And I just have to say that all my interactions with the police were just, like, they could not have been kinder or more helpful. And, like, I saw kids, like, talking to them, like, all the time. And, you know, just, like, going and being next to them. I never saw a policeman be unkind to any child. You know, I so disagree with this.
And I guess, is there a way, I mean, there must be a way for students, if they think an officer is being disrespectful, they would report it to the administration, and would they take that seriously in your experience?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I worked with all kinds of different principals, and you know, everyone had a different attitude, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think some would be like, you know, take it to heart, others would not. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, Chicago public schools are just like, my goodness, it's like an enigma, you know. I mean, I don't even know how to comment that.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, and it might be school by school, which is my point. Thank you. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate that.
Okay.
You know, so it's something else. You know, it seems as if the local school, to me, could make decisions based on what's right for their population. And it would seem to me that if you had a number of students, a number of parents coming forward to say that officer is disrespectful, or he's making, you know, whatever, he's doing this or doing that, he's crossing the line, and it isn't a working, a good relationship, that those kinds of things could be determined too. And I'm sure they are all the time. But the abolishment thing, I'm not understanding entirely. Sergeant Pete, we have to talk about something else though. And, it's this home monitoring, and we've learned something here, right? We learned something new. We've talked about the home monitoring system and how that might be impacting the crime numbers. Let's talk a little bit about it. Remind us, what is the home monitoring system?
Well, the sheriff or the court can assign somebody to home monitoring, and it's at their discretion. Now, for me, if you've committed a crime with a gun, you shouldn't be on home monitoring. You also shouldn't be on home monitoring, as this young man was put on home monitoring for criminal sexual assault of a 13-year-old. And home monitoring, I don't think he belongs on home monitoring. But the problem with it is you have 3,000 people by the sheriff, and you have 1,000 by the courts. That's 4,000 people. You also have, that I found out this morning, you have 1,000 people that cut off their monitors. 1,000. So you've got a quarter of the people cut off their monitors. Who is looking for those 1,000 people? How many people does he have assigned to look for those 1,000 people?
So wait, that's a pretty powerful thing you just said. I just stop for a second, because I just want to repeat this and give it the emphasis it deserves. Out of 4,000 people who are on this home monitoring because they've been charged with the crime and they don't want to put them in the county jail, and we understand with COVID crisis, there are more people who are getting the home monitoring and maybe even for more severe crimes than we normally saw because of the situation. But of those 4,000, 1,000, a quarter of them who have potentially committed a crime with a gun, have done something or have an illegal weapon charge against them, they are now cutting off their ankle bracelets. Is that easy to do?
Yeah. All it is a piece of cloth, and it's locked onto your ankle. And there's way to, you know, there's ways that you can get around it. But the best way that they're doing it, they're just cutting it off, and they're leaving the monitor sit, and they're out. They can do whatever they want, and we can't get the statistics on how many people have committed any crimes while they were out of this 1,000 It's just an abomination that you would have 1,000 people. Now, if the sheriff doesn't have the
resources,
personnel or the money, he better talk to, you know, Preckwinkle and get the money, because you just can't have these people running around with no recourse. And for God's sake, if you cut the monitor off once, you shouldn't be allowed to go on home monitoring again.
And you keep hearing the superintendent, David Brown, and you hear the mayor, too, talk about home monitoring over and over again as they, after each Monday when they discuss the heartbreaking crime statistics, young lives lost, and they say, well, we've got a problem. We're not keeping track of folks. They're going out on home monitoring, and no one's watching them. And the assumption there is that they're saying that some of the people who are out on home monitoring are actually responsible for these violent crimes that are happening on the weekends. Or throughout the week,
The statistics are we're up 32% in homicides. That's a lot. We're also up 41 or 44% in shootings. So now they've got this new strategy that was an old strategy, but the mayor and the superintendent have worked on it, that they're going to have a set group of people assigned to high crime or high incident areas, and these officers are going to be on the straight and narrow, no beards, no backward wearing hats. They're going to have supervision, strict supervision, because of the problems that occurred with those units from before. So you have to, you know, you can never arrest yourself out of a crime wave, and you can't buy your way out of it. So there has to be a way to do it. And the good thing about this new program is that these cops that are assigned to it are also going to be interacting with the community. And I think today they were going to clean some parks or some neighborhood, and they were going to go through and help the community clean. And whatever we do, or however it has to be done, and however people want to think about things, from the University of Chicago, all these geniuses, the bottom line is going to come out is the people and the children are going to have to get to work together with the police, have to have an understanding, and have to have a coordinated effort to work with each other. Because one without the other means nothing.
Ultimately, that is the answer. Hang on a second. We've got Peter Garza, I guess. So we have a first and last name on this caller. Peter, go ahead. You're on WG.
Yeah, I apologize. In 2006, I ran for sheriff. So I'm pretty aware and familiar about what's going on here with the EM unit.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Tom Dart has been screaming for the last 2 years that the people that they currently have on home monitoring is just amazing. Home monitoring was supposed to be for small crimes, not violent crimes. Now you have, with the help of Kim Fox and the chief judge, orders. They are ordering the sheriff's office to put people who have been charged for murder, attempted murder, rape, all these charges, they put them all on home monitoring. And that in itself is the problem.
It's a big problem.
Tom Dart doesn't have the personnel. And you cannot have that. Home monitoring was set for a whole different purpose. And instead, we're getting people that just 10 years ago, we would laugh at some of the charges that people would be put on home monitoring for. And that is the root problem. Everything else is just trying to fix the root problem. But this is the problem. You have to get Kim Fox to stop letting violent criminals out on I-bonds and on home monitoring. And you have to also express the same thing to the chief judge. That is your problem. The chief judge and the state's attorney. That is the root cause. Everything else is irrelevant to me.
Yeah, well, thank you for pointing that out. I think that is a huge part of the problem here. If you have the police chief screaming, hey, these guys are supposed to be on home monitoring, who's monitoring them? And then they commit a murder, and then they shoot into a crowd and hit a seven-year-old. I mean, that obviously shouldn't be happening. There's a breakdown in the system, and it's been identified. You very accurately pointed that out, Peter, and I didn't know it was that Peter Garza. So thank you. I appreciate you calling in. Go ahead. You want to finish
criminal
something?
Justice topics, when I listen, I try to participate, especially
always.
You know, if I could be of assistance.
Thank you, Peter, and continue to do that. It's 1:49. I'm late to take a break, and we need to get back to Sergeant Pete. I want to ask him about this new policing strategy that is being implemented. There's something we've felt like it's happened before. It seems like a lot of the same program with developing a team that moves to where the crimes are, the hot spots. We've heard of this before, but I think Sergeant Pete's going to tell us that it is a little different than you might think this time around. We'll talk to him. Continue that conversation in a moment here on WGN. Sergeant Pete, back with you here. And, you know, we heard the news a couple days ago that, okay, this is one of the things the police department is going to do as we see crime surge across the city and have had three terribly violent weekends. And certainly the week, it doesn't seem to let up all that much either. Well, here we go. And we're hearing about this sort of mobile team that would respond to hotspots where crime is occurring. And again, having covered crime for years and years and years in the city, I remember this being called different things and in different iterations. But when you and I had a conversation before, you're like, this one might be different. There's something different about this. So I just wondering if you can explain this to us, what this is all about.
This team is going to be smaller than in the past, with a huge emphasis on training and supervision. And each week, the team is going to do community service projects, which gets them out of their cars and meeting with the people. The group is going to be disciplined in appearance, crisp, clean uniforms, no beards, no hats, no baseball caps backwards. The superintendent and the mayor have listened to a lot of what the community has said. And, you know, as we've talked many a time, and you've agreed that the bonding between the police and the community, and the best way to do that is work together. And if it takes cleaning up an area, or if it takes cleaning up a location, and if it takes getting the trust of somebody in that neighborhood, because, you know, sometimes the detectives, you don't have to be a snitch or a squealer. You could just say, hey, listen, this is what I know. Give them a name, give them an idea, give them something to work with, let them build the case. You don't necessarily have to come out and confront the officer and say, hey, it was Willie Gagatz and he did it. Just say, you know, the guy that we heard that did it is Willie Gagatz. And so let the police build the case from there. It's you need a centralized unit. It's essential to tramp down these hotspots. When you have the crime rate as what it is, and the kids being shot the way they are, and it's not all drugs now. It's getting to be more gangs and what do they call that? People on Facebook and all that, and they start arguing with each other. And next thing you know, they're going over to the house and shooting it up.
And, of course, you hear retaliation. So as soon as there is a shooting, gang-related shooting in a neighborhood, police officers often know that there will be some sort of retaliation at some point. So this team would deploy.
There was a crime strategy office at 35th Street where if a certain gang, the Insane Yazoos, shot at the Insane Galakabulikus or whatever, you would know that there's going to be retaliation. So you could send your force into that area to stop that retaliation.
Right.
Because that's what the cause are, and that's how these innocent people are getting shot. So-and-so's brother got shot, so we're going to go shoot so-and-so. And, you know, there's 15 people standing around so-and-so, and they shoot him.
Yeah. Pete, I no easy answers. I hope and pray that this weekend is not like the last few, and hopefully we can hear from you again next week sometime. Thanks for being available. Did you get to golf today, by the way?
Yes, I did, and I shot the best round of my year.
Very nice. Awesome. Have a good weekend, Sergeant Pete. Good talking to you.
All right. Same to you. Bye-bye.